would just hear these words from the Lord. Why are you hiding? Why are you hiding and covering yourselves up? I have proven myself to you over and over again that I am a God of love, a God of rescue, a God of mercy. I am your deliverer. I am your God in whom you can trust. Why are you hiding? Come out. Come out so we can walk together again. What you do cannot cover yourself. What I have done for you covers. My love covers a multitude of sin. Why are you hiding? Come into the light as I am in the light. Be rescued, be set free, be delivered, be loved. But be loved, be those things in the light.
Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
We're going to start in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, and this is a prayer the Apostle Paul prayed for the church, praying for us. He's saying, I don't cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, for I always pray to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he may grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the deep and intimate knowledge of him, by having the eyes of your heart flooded with light, so that you can know and understand the hope to which he has called you, and how rich is his glorious inheritance in the saints. Now, this is something the Apostle Paul is praying, and this is the part of the prayer I really want to look at this morning, because it's the part that the Spirit of God has been stirring in my heart throughout the week, and it's something that we need to come back to over and over again. But as we look at this prayer, we see the Apostle Paul is praying for a spirit of wisdom and revelation. You know, when Jesus asked his disciples, he said, who do men say that I am? And they kind of gave all these possible answers. And then Peter stands out and says, you're the Christ, you're the Son of the living God. Jesus was blessed by that. Why? He said, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but my Father who's in heaven revealed that to you. There was revelation. You got something from God that was bigger than just your understanding. It came by the Spirit of God. And as believers, you know, we come into the kingdom that way. We believe that Jesus is the Christ. We're born again. We become children of God. But that amazing dynamic of revelation, flesh and blood didn't reveal this unto you, doesn't stop at salvation. That's just the start of a journey of revelation that you get in God. A revelation that'll take you from glory to glory to glory as you continue to behold him and behold him and behold him. And so what he's praying here is that you get a spirit of wisdom and revelation. And he really mentions three things: the hope of your calling, the rich, glorious inheritance of the Father has in us as the saints, and the exceeding greatness of his power that works toward us as believers. But we're going to look at the middle of that sandwich of his prayer. How rich is his glorious inheritance in the saints? It was so important that by the Spirit of God, it was put in this prayer. You know, we understand why we need a spirit of wisdom and revelation to understand the hope of his calling. What do you want me to do with my life, God? And we understand the importance of a spirit of wisdom and revelations that relates to knowing the exceeding great power that works toward us as believers. We get that. That makes sense. But why do I need a big revelation of how rich His glorious inheritance is in me. Why does that matter so big that it's sandwiched right in between the purpose of God for my life and the power of God to do it? Right in the middle, there's a revelation that he's praying that you get. Because when I think of inheritance, I think of like what Peter said, you know, there is reserved in heaven for you an inheritance that fades not away. I think of salvation, I think of my inheritance that I got in Christ. He did something and I'm inheriting because of what he did for me. But God flips it in this verse. He says, it's not just about what you're inheriting, it's about what I'm inheriting. I want you to get a revelation of my inheritance in you. That's an interesting revelation. And I remember just thinking about that and praying about that and thinking, Lord, you know, it's just amazing to think that I would represent your inheritance, that you have an inheritance in me. And I was just praying about that because I just wanted a little bit more of a concrete way to understand how that could even be. And the Lord brought me back just as I was kind of praying it out, and he just reminded me of when my brother received Christ. And you'd prayed for him, you know, you'd talked with him, and then there came that day when he received my Lord. He got it. He saw it. He came into the kingdom. And you were so glad because, you know, he's a child of God now. And you realize that day that not only did he become a child of God, not only did he become one of my children, he said, but you got a new brother. You got a brother in the Lord. You got somebody that you didn't have before. You got something. You got something. God's talking. You got something when your brother got saved. You got another person in the earth who knows you, who loves you, who can fellowship with him, who can enjoy a relationship. You got something when he got saved. And the Lord said, I got something when he got saved. I got a child. I got another person in the earth who knows me, who loves me, who gets me, who can fellowship, that my will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There's something I got. I got an inheritance in you. I got a child who's going to go on beyond this lifetime forever and ever and ever. That's a powerful truth. When you see yourself as the Father's inheritance, you see you're loved by him as a father. You see that you're precious to him. In the same way we see heaven as an inheritance, he sees us as an inheritance, a revelation of his glorious inheritance in you, the saints. Revelation of it. Can we go there? We can go there. We're supposed to go there. In fact, we're supposed to get a revelation of that. There's something about a revelation of the hope of his calling that'll do something for you as far as following after God's plan. But when you get a revelation of his glorious inheritance in you, oh, it'll bring you to some places. It'll bring you to some places in the love of God. Now, what he says there is a revelation. This isn't something that you're just going to cognitively understand in a natural way. It's going to come by revelation. There was one time in the Old Testament, I'll just relate an excerpt from the story, when you had Elijah and his servant, when they were surrounded, okay? One night, the king of Aram sent a great army with many chariots and horses to surround the city. When the servant of the man of God got up early the next morning and went outside, there were troops, horses, and chariots everywhere. Oh, sir, what will we do now? The young man cried to Elisha. Don't be afraid, Elijah told him, for there are more on our side than on theirs. Then Elijah prayed, O Lord, open his eyes and let him see. The Lord opened the young man's eyes, and when he looked up, he saw the hillside around Elisha was filled with horses and chariots of fire. Now, God didn't do anything different. He just opened his eyes to see what was already there. He opened his eyes to see what Elisha already saw. And this morning, that's what I'm believing is going to happen. That there is going to be a spirit of wisdom and revelation. This isn't a zap that's going to make you better. It's going to be something that is going to open your eyes to see a revelation of how rich his glorious inheritance in you is. So this morning, the title of the message is a revelation of God's love. This is not a teaching about God's love. We're going to talk about a revelation of God's love. And as I was preparing, I was thinking, you know, Lord, you kind of did it again. I'm kind of on an accidental series here about God's love, you know? Whether it's God's love in the face of failure, whether it's, you know, permission to be happy. Granted, there's just the love of God. You know, usually what I'll try to do at Door of Life is preach you a God loves you message quarterly, and I'll try to disguise it so you don't know that's exactly what I'm doing, all right? And that's what I meant to do a few weeks ago, but I kept coming back and coming back. It's like, Lord, I kind of got my quarterly God loves you message in, right? And Lord said, no, well, there's something bigger going on than a quarterly God loves you message. There is a revelation. There is a revelation that you're going to stay with until you get it, till you see it. I'll tell you what. When you begin to see things by revelation, it changes everything. I remember, I'll just put it this way. As I was preparing for the message, I had a really cool encounter. Kind of one of these experiences. I don't have them very often, but I had one. And when it was over, it was like, wow. I said, somebody's been praying for me. And the Lord said, yes, Ed. He said, actually, somebody has been praying for you. He said, you prayed for this, and now I'm showing you. Because I've prayed about that. I've prayed about, Lord, the love. And it was like, oh my goodness, okay. The Lord has answered my prayer. That's why we pray in the first place. We pray for that spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. He gave me this really cool experience. And I'm just going to go ahead and start with the scripture here, because there's really just two aspects that I want to talk about as far as a revelation of God's love for you. And number one, what it does, what that revelation does, is why Paul prayed that Ephesian prayer, is because it secures you in His love. I'll tell you what, there's a deliverance that can happen like that when you get a revelation and get secured in the love of God. Paul prays another prayer later in that book of Ephesians, and he puts it this way. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Wow, what a prayer. He's praying that we would get something here, strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. There's a rooting and a grounding in love. When you're rooted and grounded in love, it's very hard to fool somebody like that. Kind of reminds you of someone like that tree planted by rivers of water. There is a stability that love brings, a security. You're secured in His love, a rooting that goes down. But listen to what he says here. He's praying for us that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints those dimensions, and to know, for us to comprehend and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. It kind of sounds like an oxymoron. How can I comprehend and know something that passes knowledge? How can you pray for me to know something that passes knowledge? When you're talking about the love of God passes knowledge. This is why it's so important to not lean to our own understanding and to realize that there is revelation. Our eyes can be flooded with light that we can see from the inside. Not that we crack the code up here, but there's something that we see by the Spirit of God about His love and about His love for us. For that to happen, for you to truly comprehend and know something that passes knowledge, you got to have revelation. It's the only way you could do it. Again, it's going to be something that comes from him, something that the Lord answers that Ephesians 1 prayer and gives you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. What does revelation mean? It means to unveil. It means to see things. I know that at Lambeau Field, they had an unveiling of those statues, I think, a ceremony. You know, you could see there's a drop cloth and you can see the form of something and you kind of know what it is, all right? And that's kind of the way it is. Well, I know God loves me, you know? But when the drop cloth comes off, it's not a form anymore. It's a clear image and you see something and you grab onto that. And that's what I believe we're going to experience this morning. In a sense, I'm praying for that. Lord, I do pray, Lord, the things that you've shown me imparted to my heart, that by your Spirit, Lord, you do what only you can do and reveal and show and witness by the Spirit the love that you have for each one here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. So I woke up one morning, and as I woke up, you know, it's kind of like the twilight morning where you're just kind of waking up. You're kind of in almost like in a half dream state. And I'm waking up, and you know, as I'm waking up, it's like there's just a sweet presence of the Lord. There's just a sweet fellowship of God. And I could just sense the love of God. I could sense him loving me, you know? And again, it's hard to say these as words. It can kind of fall flat as a two-dimensional thing. God loves you. Revelation, though, there was a sense of his presence, okay? So I'm laying in bed, but the presence of God is there. And I am sensing the presence of God and the love of God just affirming to me, Ed, I love you. I love you. And it was so amazing. It was like, God loves me. And you can think in your mind, you know, your mind can go, yeah, but that person thinks this and this person thinks that. I love you. I love you, and I love the way I made you. In this presence, two things happened. Two things fell away. Condemnation for my imperfections and criticisms of others. They're gone, and you're just in the presence of your Lord who loves you as a child of God, and you're not seeing yourself through the filter of anybody's opinions of you or anything like that. You're just seeing him and his love for you, and it's just like, you love me. But they think, but you love me. You love me. This is how it was profound and different. It was, you love me. I know you love me. You're there. I love you. And this is why it was so distinct. Every sense, every tinge of defensiveness, bitterness, rejection, hatred, it was gone. Totally gone. And not just that, it was something else. In that presence, I didn't even have to feel sorry for myself anymore. I didn't need to, because he loved me. It was an amazing sense of the presence of God in that moment and in that time. The thing that I would kind of liken it to, as far as maybe something that you could relate to, is, and I actually got some of these. It's some of these new little earbuds. It's really not a new technology, but it's new in the earbuds that I got. And what it is you can put them in your ears, and there's a feature called noise canceling. And what it is, it just blocks out the whole outside stuff. It's like you're just in this little bubble. Now, everything's going on. You know there's noises going, but you can't hear it. All you can hear is what's going on here, what you're putting in your ears at this moment, the music you're playing, the words that you're listening to. And in that moment, in the presence of God, it was like demonic wisdom noise canceling. You know, sometimes you pray, Lord, I want this to stop. I want to stop thinking. I want to stop thinking. There's something that happened in that sweet moment in that presence. This is the way John describes it. He says, for we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. He who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. There's a lot here. First, it's one thing to know the love of God. It's another thing to believe. And it's like, Lord, I see it. I believe I am loved by you. I am loved like a parent loves a child. I mean, we love our children. And yeah, we want them to do well and be successful so they're blessed, not so that we can love them. We already love them. And it's like, wow, yeah, he already loves me. That's already done. I'm starting from a place of perfect love. I'm starting from a place of perfect acceptance. Again, like I said, two things are not here. Condemnation for my failures and criticisms of other people as they've spoken about me or maybe different things. That they're gone in this atmosphere. They've been canceled. There's an atmosphere where the love of God is there. Why? Because there is no fear in love. When you believe the love, the fear of man goes. When you let that love of God in. And this was an amazing thing because I, like I said, it was something that I had prayed about and something that I experienced. And it's something that I experienced for just a little bit. You get experiences in God for a bit, and then you'll walk them out by faith as you come out of that experience. But he'll show you something, a revelation, that you're going to then be able to walk out and walk in and live in. And there was such an amazing, it's like, wow, God loves me. It's such a cool thing. Here's another great scripture. And I love how the Message put this in from Romans. It says, so what do you think? With God on our side like this, how can we lose? If God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition, exposing himself to the worst by sending his own son, is there anything else he wouldn't gladly and freely do for us? And who would dare tangle with God by messing with one of God's chosen? Who would dare even to point a finger? The one who died for us, who was raised to life for us, is in the presence of God in this very moment, sticking up for us. Do you think anyone is going to be able to drive a wedge between us and Christ's love for us? There's no way. And this is where it's like, wow, Lord, there really is nothing. There's no one, power, present. There's nothing that can get in between the love, us, and the love that you have for us. There's such a reality here. There's such a truth here. And this is where it is so cool because I'm in that moment. You know, it's like, wow. You know, I'm really, it's like, I'm totally loved by God. And I really, and here's the deal. I want to distinguish something because there's two different ways you could say this. I really didn't care what people thought about me. Now, there's one way you could say that. I don't care what you think about me because I know God loves me. That's not what I'm talking about. That has nothing to do with what I'm talking about. This is, I genuinely don't care because I know I'm loved by God. And when you genuinely don't care because you know you're loved by God, you can actually love that person. You can't love them over there. You're protecting yourself from their arrows. But when you see it here, no matter what they do, or the games, or the buttons, or the triggers, God's love is greater. You can look them right in the eye and love them. Secured in God's love. Secured in his love. There's a securing that roots you and grounds you. And you see these verses that come to life in a way. And this, again, isn't about my, because here's the reality. When you're dealing with stuff and you're dealing with, and you pray about people, and I've prayed about people. And the Lord has just said, Ed, you know, they're not the bad guy. They're not the bad guy, part of the evil empire. Not at all. He said, they're just a lot like you. They're just believers who have issues and problems and insecurities, and they're growing up and they're overcoming things. And when he said this to me, he said, and when you begin to see them like I see them, that's when your healing is going to begin. Because when you get in this presence of God, you see that it's not just, you know, something for you, but there's a love that he puts in your heart. There's a security that he puts in your heart. And this, and here's where I just kind of want to say this again. What I'm describing this morning is not an emotional experience. Nothing to do with it. It is a spiritual experience. A spirit of wisdom and revelation is a spiritual experience. Do your emotions get affected? Yeah, but it doesn't start there. It starts with a revelation. It starts with something you see, not with something you feel. It starts with something you perceive by the Spirit of God. And then your feelings go, oh, that's why it passes knowledge. You know, if you think of your emotions, that knowledge plane, like the clouds in the sky, and maybe if you've flown in a plane, you know what it's like? You break through the clouds. That's what a spirit of wisdom and revelation does. As long as you're in that place, that feeling, that cloud level, you can't really get a lot of perspective. But when the Spirit of God gives you revelation, he'll take you beyond what you know, a love that passes knowledge. And he'll let you see some things by the Spirit of God. In other words, I know these things are true. I know God loves me perfectly. But there is something about a revelation of that love where you're experiencing a quietness from the noise because that perfect love has done the heavy lifting and cast out the fear because you have believed the love. There's a call to get a revelation of his inheritance in you to believe the love that he has for you, to secure yourself in his love. Yeah, you're a work in progress. Yeah, your brother and sister's a work in progress. But here's the real deal. He loves you regardless. You know, if you any of you have heard or read that little book about the Wemmicks, what's that story again? Do you know the name? Punchinello, You Are Special. Yeah. Just quick high level, you get this little guy, this little wooden puppet. He's in a puppetville, I guess, where they're all little wooden puppets. But there's a carver, Eli the wood carver, who created them all. And what they would do all day is they would spend all day putting dots, you know, either dots or stars on each other to really either build each other up or tear each other down. That's kind of what they did. That was kind of the way they interacted. And you had this little Punchinello guy, he just was full of dots no matter what he did, you know, and all of a sudden he saw somebody that didn't have any dots or stars. He goes, well, what's going on here? How can that be? How can you not have dots or stars? And I think the girl, Lucinda or something like that, said, you just got to go visit Eli, the woodcarver. So little Punchinello goes and visits Eli the woodcarver and the creator, and he's kind of ashamed and embarrassed. And Eli said, oh, it looks like you've got some bad marks on you there. And he said, yeah, you know, I really try. But he said, you don't have to explain yourself to me, child. He said, I don't care what they think about you. I made you, and I love you. And he just listened to him, and he said, now you just keep coming to me every day and let's just have some talks. But I really do love you. And as Punchinello, you know, he left, he said, I think he really means it. And as he left, one of the dots fell off him. There is a security, that's just a little story about how that little thing could happen. But there's a security that you have when you go to God. You're trying to get these dots off, but there's a security. The only thing that can make those dots come off is the love of God. Now, here's the deal. Now, I'm a preacher. I've been around this. I've been living this for over 40 years, and I get the dynamics. Telling people that God loves them is going to excuse sin. It doesn't excuse sin. In fact, I've seen this, and you do inventory of your own walk with God. The times you've been away and the times you've been strong for God. Consider the revelation of God's love for you when you've been strong in the Lord. That's when your love, your revelation of his love has been the strongest, not when you're out sinning. The goodness of God doesn't lead you to backsliding. It leads you to repentance. It leads you to a place of wanting to live for him. That's what the scripture actually says too, because when you realize this love is now, and it is motivates you to live for him now. John puts it this way, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us. In other words, think about it, contemplate it, get a revelation of this, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world doesn't know us, of course. It didn't know him. Beloved, now we are children of God. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. When you get a revelation of the love of God, it has a purifying effect in your heart. Because in that revelation of love, there's deliverance. It's not just that the noise was canceled out and I didn't hear it. There's deliverance in that. You experience that and you go, I like this. I want to stay here. What do I got to do to stay here? Then all of a sudden, those scriptures take on a whole different perspective. You shouldn't do this. And no. I'm in a place of love. I want to stay here, and I want to enjoy this peace. I want to enjoy this place in God. It's a now place. And you realize when you're there in that place, it's like, there's nothing else I got to do as far as God's love for me. This love is now. It is here. Now, I love another way Colossians puts it, even though you were once distant from him, living in the shadows of your evil thoughts. What a great way to put it. Whether you're an unbeliever or whether you're a believer struggling, living in the shadow of your evil thoughts and actions, he reconnected you back to himself. He released his supernatural peace to you through the sacrifice of his own body as the sin payment on your behalf, so that you would dwell in his presence. And now there is nothing between you and the Father, for he sees you as holy, flawless, and restored. All right, so we're going to address this great paradox. Am I in the natural perfect? Paul said, I'm not perfected. I haven't arrived. I get it. I know it. I'm still a work in progress. But in the other sense, I'm a new creation. And when the Father looks at me, he doesn't look at me through the lens of all my imperfections. He sees the new creation that he created in me. He sees the new creation that he has inherited in me. He sees his inheritance. He sees the one who's going to live with him forever and ever and ever. He already sees you because that's who you already are. This is a very small part of your existence, a vapor. He sees past the vapor, and he sees the new creation he's made you to be. And there's a summonsing here to see yourself same way. Nothing between you and the Father. Holy, flawless, restored on your best day, all right? You're not perfect, all right? But in your spirit, who you are in Christ, he sees you that way. And when you get that revelation of God's love, you get permission to see yourself that way. It's not an arrogance. It's a spiritual reality that God did in Christ. You give yourself permission to go there and see yourself as God's inheritance. This passes natural knowledge and natural thinking. But this is the word of God that tells us to see yourself now. Now. In other words, now. In the same way that while you were sinners, God demonstrated his love and Jesus died for you. While you're children of God, that I doesn't have to get dotted and that T doesn't have to get crossed. It's now. If I do this, and then, no. You don't have a revelation of God's love yet. If you connect your consecration, you're not getting it. You get there by believing that love. There's no gratification of I did something. It's gone. It's out the door. It's faith. Now, you're going to get to do stuff, but it's going to be to stay in that place. But you got to get to that place first by grace through faith, period. That's it. Jesus died on this cross to bring us to that place. And like I said, I woke up. I wasn't planning on it, but I was in this place. And that's why I said, man, somebody must have been praying for me. I had some I's dot and T's across before I can get here. But I was here. I was there. And what happened? There was nothing. There was no zap. It was just God opened his eyes to see where he already is. It's like, wow, I'm here already? Yeah, you're already here. All those other love scriptures, they're just designed to keep you here. But you're here. You're loved by God. You're loved by God in an amazing way. There's a song that came out, I think, you know, recent decades, I guess, that I think maybe 10, 20 years ago that I think captures the essence of what I experienced. It goes, Lord, I come to you. Let my heart be changed, renewed, flowing from the grace that I've found in you. Lord, I've come to know the weaknesses I see in me will be stripped away by the power of your love. Hold me close. Let your love surround me. Bring me near. Draw me to your side, and as I wait, I'll rise up like the eagle, and I'll soar with you. Your spirit leads me on in the power of your love. Lord, unveil my eyes. Let me see you face to face, the knowledge of your love as you live in me. Lord, renew my mind as your will unfolds in my life, in living every day in the power of your love. It's a song that captures the essence of just what I experienced there. A wisdom, a spirit of wisdom and revelation, a place of the spirit. Like I said, I didn't read my chapter. I didn't do, you know, I'm kind of going, I go consecration. How did I get here? What did I do to get here? Nothing. It was a gift. It was an answer to prayer of revelation, but it was just, Lord, open his eyes. Lord, open Ed's eyes. Let him see the way you see him. Let him see, let him believe the love. Let him believe Colossians 1:22. That there really is nothing between you and the Father God, for he sees you as holy, flawless, and restored. Are we talking about your consecration? No. We're talking about the work that he did in you when you got born again. We're talking about you as his inheritance, as his child. He sees you as his child, as his inheritance. And when I was in that, in that moment, it's like, wow, I am really loved by God. Here's the other cool thing that happens to you. When you believe you're loved by God, you will love you. Why? Because when you see that you're loved by God, you also see that you are lovable. You are lovable. Now, I know this might decades of that accusation. The Bible doesn't just say that Satan's the accuser of the brethren. It just says, he says he accuses them night and day. Night and day. That means you go to bed mad and you wake up mad. You go to bed sad, you wake up sad. You go to bed feeling rejected, you wake up feeling rejected. That voice. Over and over and over. Like a bad loop. Something happens here that breaks that loop. There's something that you believe. I'm lovable. You begin to see what God sees when he's looking at you. You begin to see yourself as he sees you, holy, flawless, and restored. Yeah, I know I got stuff there, but man, what God did in me, this is amazing. This is who I am. I'm excited about being me. I don't care who says what. I know and I see a revelation of God's love for me. What does it do? It secures you in him. Now, as it kind of closed, and I'm just going to kind of close with the, it was almost like a follow-up admonition. I'm going to write down, because I wrote it down what I got in my spirit. But he kind of gave me a little admonition at the end of that revelation experience. And he just said this. He said, Ed, as I set you free from the scrutiny and the criticisms of people, you will stay free as you refuse to scrutinize and criticize others. The moment you take the seat of the scoffer for the satisfaction of judging, you reactivate that critical voice in your ear that imagines that people and the imaginations of what people are thinking about you. He can get you out of that chair and he can give you a revelation. But you begin to find out what the scripture says is there for you. You're secure in his love, but a revelation of the love of God secures you to love. That's the other piece. So when you begin to revisit some things, you begin to revisit them from a place. God loves me. He is for me. And this is, again, the scripture that I felt impressed. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, doesn't stand in the path of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. When you're free from that accusing voice and you can love people and look at them, the enemy doesn't like that. The enemy likes you when you're fighting each other. The enemy loves when there's constant division, and there's constant tension, and there's constant strife. And he begins to play games to where all of a sudden the whole paradigm changes and switches and accusations. And this is where fear comes in. Perfect love casts out all fear. I'm telling you what, when you're in that place of his love and you're in that place where you got noise cancellation, everything in your whole life automatically all at once reconciles. But what about this? This is, it all reconciles. How does it reconcile? There's no fear in it anymore. I'll tell you, life looks different when you're not afraid of anything. Not because you're tough, but because you've been secured in a God who loves you and you know he loves you no matter what. When the fear goes out of the issues of your life, it's a very different paradigm. Then you begin to pray about him a little differently when you see him without that lens. You're not afraid of him. You're not afraid of people because you know God loves you. You don't need their approval for his love. You don't have to hit their hoops and cross to get their approval. It's gone. Again, this is, I don't need you. I don't need your approval. It's not a chip on my shoulder. It's an, I don't need your approval without a chip on my shoulder and without a smile on my, and with a smile on my face. It's a joy. It's a something that I've got in him. But that's what the Lord warned me. He said, you like that place? I said, yes, I like this place. I want to live in this place. I want to live in this place of noise cancellation. You can. There's a way to live there. This is where love comes in. Because the word of God to love is what keeps us in that place. It not only secures us in his love, but it secures us to love. We're already got our back. God's got our back. When you know and believe that God's got your back, and I'm telling you guys, this is revelation stuff. I mean, and pray. Pray for that spirit of wisdom and revelation. I believe the Holy Spirit, by the second sermon we say at Door of Life, is showing you stuff. But I'm just saying, pray these prayers. He'll answer these prayers as you begin to pray them. You have your own experiences in God. God can impart some stuff, but we find one of the things is that we don't sit in the seat of the scornful. Why? Because when I sit in that seat of the scornful and I play into, you know, then all of a sudden I'm reactivating that. I've basically taken those earbuds out and I'm now hearing everything that's going on, all that noise. But I'm putting this in. I'm putting the love of God in. Now, again, it doesn't mean that I don't pray about things. I don't pray about issues. Philippians 4, 6, 7, and 8, be anxious for nothing, but pray. And what happens? The peace of God that passes your understanding will keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Not sticking your head in the sand. Again, I could talk on a lot of directions, and I promise the Lord that I wouldn't. Because you begin to think, well, what about this? I don't care. I'm going for one facet here. I'm going to hit it. There's a security in the love of God that we have in him, that we keep in him when we choose to not allow that critical spirit in our heart. Because that critical spirit is what turns on the demonic noise. Jesus put it this way, do not judge others and you won't be judged, for you will be treated as you treat others. The standards you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. And why worry about the speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying to your friend, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye, when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite, first get the log out of your own eye. Then you will see clearly enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. And you think about that critical spirit and the invitation to come, and all of a sudden you realize, and you know, it just brings you right back to what the Lord told me before. He said, Ed, they're a lot like you. They're growing up. And instead of the bad guy, it's Lord, you know, if there's a place God in a spirit of meekness can have a sweet way of using you, but it's for the most part, with the noise stuff, it's I'm not going to judge. And you see what it says? The standard that you use to judge is the standard by which you will be judged. In other words, when you get critical about something, you're setting yourself up to have to do things a certain way. And it just works automatically. I've humorously used this as an illustration at Door of Life over the years, but as I was a young guy and I was driving back, I think, from Plum City to Eau Claire back in the days when I was going back and forth programming and church and whatnot, I'd drive through a McDonald's and get a burger. And as I was driving, I would have a tendency in my mind, in my heart. I had a critical attitude and a critical spirit that anytime anybody was in front of me and they were driving, if they just swerved a little bit, I said, drunk. They're drunk. They're totally drunk. Yep. They're drunk. I just, immediately, it was like, I would just, you know, have that attitude and that judgment. And so here I am, I've driven through McDonald's and I'm driving back and I'm driving and I'm drinking my Coke and I've got my fries balancing with my hamburger and I'm eating and drinking and all of a sudden, you know, my fries lunge forward and I catch my fries and as I do, my steering wheel veers and I catch it and I bring myself back in the center of the road while I'm driving. And the first thing that I did was I looked in the rearview mirror and I said, oh my goodness, they're going to think I'm drunk. You don't go to classes for that. It's instinctive. And this is why it's really good to not be critical. Because you don't have to be looking in the rearview mirror. You can believe all things, bear all things, hope all things, believe the best, pray. But that sweet spirit, when you experience, it's like what the Lord said to me, if you want to, you know, you will stay free as you refuse to scrutinize and criticize others yourself. The moment you take the seat of the scoffer for the satisfaction of judging, you reactivate that critical voice in your own ear. All of a sudden, you're on notice. When you begin to have a sweet, gracious, kind, it keeps you out of that seat of the scoffer. It keeps the noise turned off. We're talking, God turns off that noise by his love, but there's things we do then to keep that noise off. This is why we love the way he's called us to love. Who's wise and understanding among you, let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. If you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not, lie not against the truth. This wisdom descends not from above. It's earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and strife is, there's confusion in every evil work. What is this? This is the seduction back into the seat of the scoffer right here. You know, it's like, you know, and you see what he's saying here. If you got strife, glory not, lie not against the truth. This wisdom descends not from above. What have we been talking about all morning? Revelation from above. And when you get a revelation of God's love, it's amazing. But this stuff will hit your mind almost like you feel like it's revelation. It's compelling. It makes sense. There's a logic. But there's strife. Every evil work. Anger. And that word strife, when you look up the actual word strife, it means this. Now just kind of check your own heart. Strife. Electioneering for office, courting distinction, a desire to put oneself forward, a partisan or fractious spirit, self-promotion. There's a critical spirit. There's a vote for me. There's a wrong motive that the enemy tries to play on and get us into this critical seat. And God is saying, that's not from above. That's going to turn the noise back on. He goes on to say the wisdom that is from above is pure and peaceable and gentle, full of mercy, good fruits. That's the sound you want to hear in that place. But when you begin to look at it, you realize that, oh my goodness, I'm going to go forward with God's wisdom. I'm not going to be seduced by this. I'm not going to turn it back on. And this is where we see the final scripture. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. It brings you right back. Yeah, they're a lot like me. They're going through stuff. I'm going through stuff. I am loved by God, and they are loved by God. I'm loved by God with all my junk and still things that I'm working because I am a child of God. They're loved by God too. They're loved by God. And I respect they are part of the inheritance as well too. I'm talking about a brother-sister relationship in Christ. Of course, I'm saying this. It applies to anybody who would sin against us. But we realize, because even a sinner, right? A sinner is loved by God. If we weren't loved by God while we were sinners, we wouldn't be here today. This whole thing started out that while we were sinners. And therefore, it says, be in God as dear children and walk in love as Christ has also loved us. So in other words, this is where it comes back full circle. Lord, here we are. I'm going to stay out of that seat of the scoffer. I'm going to stay in that place of love. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to see them the way you see them. And in fact, that's a good prayer. Lord, show me their heart. Show me their heart. Yeah, they may be off in some things, but show me their heart. Show me that person that you made them to be. Help me to see what you see. This is not a competition. There's no strife. There's no partisan. There's no influence politicking, vote for me, come in my way, and where there's a spirit of electioneering going on. There is none of that. It's clean and it's pure, and the things that you do for God, they're for His glory and for His praise, His benefit. It's Lord, I don't want to get pulled into that. I don't want that seat of the scoffer. I want to stay in that place of love. I want to stay in that place of, I love them even as you've loved me. I want to be an imitator of you. I want to love as you have loved. And so, as we're talking this morning again, it's a revelation of God's love. There's a revelation that secures you in His love and acts as a demonic noise-canceling service, okay? You know, you try to shut off that voice in your million different ways, and there's a lot of things we do. We do set our mind on things above. We worship, we pray, we do those different things. But there is one thing that casts out all fear. That's the love of God. And when you get a revelation of that love, that you are fully and thoroughly and completely loved from head to toe, every soul, every fiber of your being, and you believe and you let that love in, that's what casts out the fear. There's nothing, no heavy lifting that you do. It's by revelation. There's deliverance in believing that love. The word, forgiveness, all these things then come alongside in the ways that we work with that love. But it's the love that does the heavy lifting and letting Him love you, seeing yourself as His inheritance, and it secures you to love. No seat of the scornful. I'm going to stay out of that seat. Why? Because it turns that noise back on. The love of God turns the noise off. Scornful, critical spirit turns it back on. I'm going to learn to love the way He loves. Praise God. Well, Heavenly Father, we just pray this morning for that continued spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of You. Lord, we just want to see and know that love that You have for us, to see ourselves holy and flawless in Your presence. That's a gift. Father, You challenge us to go there. You paint pictures for us to go there. It's legal. It's okay. It's all right. There's a deliverance there as we see those places of perfect love. Go ahead and make this a declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, You are love, perfect love. I've known that love, and I've believed that love. And I declare right now, I am Your inheritance. I let You love me. Speak to my heart. Show me what You see when You look at me. A revelation of this new creation that You've made me to be. I am loved by You. I'm lovable because of what You've done in me. And I know, Lord, there is a place of perfect love, perfect peace. The noise is gone. The love is there. Godly wisdom is there. Revelation is there. Lord, let me live in that place. And I declare, I will stay out of the seat of the scoffer. I refuse the satisfaction of judging. I leave that to You. In the meantime, I'm going to love that person. And I pray right now, show me that person through Your eyes so I can know how to pray, so I can know how to love and walk with You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, receive that this morning. Again, I know it's kind of a big second sermon of the Holy Spirit, heavy lifting message, but I'm just trusting what that kind of a message like that is going to do. I can't exactly impart the fullness of what I experienced, but I believe that the Lord can spark something in that experience that I had in you as well too. And I'm sure probably bears witness with things you've already known and experienced and whatnot, different things like that. But I'm just trusting that you're going to see that place in him that just totally makes you free. The Bible reading, all the stuff, and loving and forgiveness, that's all. It's the cart and the horse thing, put it that way. You got the love of God is back out front again. And you're secure again. And now you're living for him from that place of being perfectly and beautifully loved. Amen? Praise God.